But up first in this hour, time for us to talk some hockey. And to do that, we welcome into the studio broadcaster par excellence, Mike Toole. Hello there, Mike.
Hello, Richard. It's great to be on with you boys.
Nice to have
Thanks
you here with us.
Thanks for having me in.
Bruce Pratt has joined us in studio as well. How many years now, Mike, is it on these?
This is year 22, I believe.
Wow.
Now, I've got a ways to go to catch up to the number of broadcasts that you and Bob have done.
Well, I don't know. I mean, because you'd have a lot more broadcasts in the course of a year. You'll pass us soon.
Maybe. So we're doing all the home games now because it's on ESPN Plus. But there was a long time there where we only did 7 or 8 games a year,
right.
You know, when it was on local TV. Starting out back in the Stone Age for me on Channel 5, we did 12 or sometimes 13. But now we're doing, you know, the full schedule, full home schedule.
And we've talked about this with you before, but you know, for those who don't know the history of Maine hockey, then it goes back to the mid-1970s, and you were there. My recollection, as somebody who was on campus at the time, too, is that you were there pretty much at the very beginning when Jack Semler got that program going.
I was known as a rink rat, and probably sharpened 10,000 pairs of skates in my life, and and because I couldn't make it as a player, and then I got into reffing kind of early, and went that route and kind of worked my way up. And I was fortunate enough when I retired from reffing 20 some odd years ago, one of my clients was Mike Young over at Channel 5. He called me up one day, said, "Hey, Scott Smith," who was the main defenseman that was doing color at the time. He goes, "Hey, he moved away and, you know, we know you're into it and you retired. Would you be interested?" I went, "Yeah, sure. It's easy, right? Piece of cake." Wow. My first few broadcasts were, let's call them uneven. You know, I'll never forget the my first game was the first Maine home game after Sean Walsh died.
Oh, my.
Maine versus BU. The building is electric. It's just going crazy. Mm. And back then, we did the open live. Today we tape it, and if you mess it up, you know, not a big deal. But we were live, and Joe Carr was the play-by-play guy. And he was so great, and he was so gracious, and, you know, he knew I knew nothing about what I was doing, although I knew something about hockey, or at least I thought I did. And I'll never forget, and back then, you know, of course you had the truck outside and the satellite link up and all that, you know. And who's the producer at Channel 5?
John Bollier. Yes.
Yeah. And so I remember, you know, the lights have come down and, the place is just going crazy. I mean, and I'm thinking, my God, what have I gotten myself into here? It will be 30 seconds. I'll be outed as somebody who just shouldn't be in front of a camera. Anyway, I hear John Bollier coming in my headset. Okay, we're on in 5, 4, 3. Cue the talent. What?
Talent?
Oh, talent. Well, once I discovered that I was the talent, there was no living with me. So,
and now you're doing double duty. We were talking about during the break. You do the video, the streaming broadcast, and the television broadcast, and then jump on with Johnny Shields for the post game on radio.
Yeah, that kind of happened by accident. It was, I think, a couple years ago, and you know, of course, Larry does a great job. He's been doing it forever, and he knows so much about hockey in general, and it's really impressive when like we'll have a meeting with Coach Barr before the game, then we'll go downstairs and talk to whoever's, you know, whoever their coach is, you know, and they're all very gracious. But Larry knows these guys from forever and knows, you know, all the backstory and all that. And so all I just got to do is sit back and, you know, I'm picking up stuff as, you know, they're talking. So Larry, of course, has a deadline. He's got an article to write. And so he's got to scoot out of there right after the game and go down and interview the players.
Get some quotes. Yeah.
Yeah. And so I just happened to wander over that way after our broadcast one night, and John turned around and said, "Here, put these on. We want to talk about the game? Yeah, put this headset on. Let's talk about it." Yeah, why not, you know? And it sort of took on a life of its own, and now it's kind of a thing that we do. It's the post-game wrap wrap up, and hopefully it's accretive to people's, you know, knowledge of what they've just seen. I don't know, but we go on and I just, you know, we talk about it for 5 or 10 minutes and put a nice little bow on the whole proceeding.
Yeah. Mike Toole with us here in studio on Downtown. Well, this season, my goodness, again, it's early still, but the buzz is back like it hasn't been in some time.
Well, we knew they were going to be a better team right off the bat, just by virtue of, well, the guys that they were bringing back, they were young, but you could see last year, huge improvement. You could see the progression from year one of the Barr regime to year two, okay? And what was missing? Finishers, guys that can complete the play. They were getting tons of shots. They were volume shooters against everybody. But they would, you know, they. I forget who they were playing. It was like towards the end of the season, and they had that big win against BC at home, and then they kind of fell on their face against UMass that last weekend, and then Vermont in the playoffs. But they would put up, they would attempt 75 to 80 shots.
At 40, and, I think, against Vermont that day.
But attempted shots is like, okay, you're in position to shoot, and if you look at the shot chart, half of them miss the net.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, so clearly the problem is finishing. I mean, they were playing the game the right way. They're getting into the zone. They're getting into their forechecking. They're working the puck around. They would do everything but score. And they would expend all that energy, and then somehow the puck would pop out of the zone, go down the other end, and bang, now you're down. Okay? So coming into this year, you know, we'd heard about the Nadeau brothers, and they are as advertised, by the way. maybe a little better. For two freshmen, I mean, these guys are... individually, I'm curious if, God forbid, one of them gets hurt, you know, I'm sure the other one's still going to be effective, but together, it's uncanny. Josh will find Bradley through traffic, opposite side of the ice, put the puck on his tape for Bradley to hammer a one-timer. He doesn't have to settle it, just steps into it. How many times have we seen that?
And with Lyndon Breen on that line.
Yeah,
with his speed and his ability to distribute the puck to them, man, they are something special to watch.
They really are, and it's been a lot of fun to watch. So that's the missing element. And my theory about this, I have many, and we'll discuss some of them. But my theory is you certainly cannot practice with these guys day in and day out without some of it rubbing off, right? So look at the play of... Well, the second line, the Harrison-Scott lines. Harrison Scott scored last night.
Felix, this is a good surprise, huh?
Well, you need that. You can't have just one line because, look, there's no secret now. Everybody knows the Nadeau brothers.
Right.
And Boston University, Boston College, everybody that's lining up to play Maine is getting a full dose of video on these two guys. Absolutely. Okay? So they're going to throw out their top line. They're going to throw out a checking line. They're going to devise... ways to frustrate those guys. So far it hasn't worked, thankfully. Yeah. But you need production from someone other than the top line. It's true in, you know, hockey it's an axiom that everyone knows. So now you're starting to get it.
Yeah.
Harrison Scott, Thomas Friel. Coach loves Friel.
Yeah.
Stout, tough to play against. Donovan Uhl, tough to play against. So even if they don't score, what they're doing is softening them up.
Yeah.
For two periods, and then eventually, you know, your big guns will turn on the Jets. We saw it last weekend against UConn. We saw it the weekend before. And so as the season goes on, you're getting production from other people, which is critical. You're also getting production from the back end.
Yeah.
Chabrier.
And Holt is so good.
Holt is good. Grayson Arnott, although I think he hurt, he did not play last night, and I'm not sure what the problem is with him. I think he left the UConn game.
Yeah.
Those guys, Chabrier, although he's 6 feet, but Arnott, Brandon Holt, and Antonacci, they're undersized, but they move the puck smartly. Maine quickly exits the zone. They quickly get into the offensive zone. They usually control the neutral zone. They don't give up odd man rushes like they have in the past. And they generate odd man rushes now. And and you could feel the temperature in the building go up when, you know, there's an odd man rush, and if it involves Josh and Brad, you know, the place that you can anticipate.
Oh, yeah.
And up in the booth, we're here it comes. And it's just fun. It's just a lot of fun.
Well, and this winning early in the season, too, that confidence is contagious. And this team, from what I've seen in the broadcast, it just feels like they believe in themselves so much now. They don't get shook when they fall behind.
What you're referring to is culture.
Yeah.
And it's a culture thing. And Ben Barr has done a tremendous job instilling a culture, and now everyone believes. And it's hard to quantify other than in wins and losses,
right.
You know, because it doesn't always translate. You could see it start to change last year and now into this year. And now that you've got some guys that can complete the play and finish off around the net, it's like, okay, we give up the first goal. We're not going to panic. We're going to, you know, stick to the game plan, and it usually works out.
Yeah, he told me that this team would play every single day if you let them. He said they just want to play all the time, and they all want to get better. He said, wasn't the case at a time. He says they all want to get better now, and they all want to play.
Yeah, and it takes a while for, you know, this is not a knock on anyone else. It takes a while for a new coach to come in and put his stamp on it, and the expectation is very different.
Yeah.
And now the other thing that's helping them is now they have some competition at certain positions. Mm. And, you know, we had a lot of questions, you know, when that first game that the UNH game that Alvin Boya came in. He's starting. Boya, what is he doing? Is he out of his mind? Clearly he wasn't, because he knows what he sees these guys every day.
Right.
But now you've got competition and depth at the goaltending position, which
it's good for Victor.
It is good for Victor. You know, you need somebody kind of pushing you in the butt, you know, to make you better. The worst thing that can happen to a goaltender, one of them, is you're the man. You're clearly number one. You're going to be in there if you give up five goals or if you pitch a shutout, and that tends to bleed into bad habits. I know I'm going to play no matter what, therefore I'm not going to do the little things unless I really feel like it, you know? Well, if you know that there's somebody breathing over your, you know, looking over your shoulder, wants to take your slot, you're going to, you know. So it's competition is a healthy thing, and you've got it up and down the lineup, you know? And so he's kind of come up with a lineup that's doesn't change too much now, but in the first few games it was kind of, you know, slotting guys into different places,
right.
And different guys were dressing and certain line combinations, except for the top line, which has been together since day one, the UNH exhibition game down at Colby. When he put that line out there, I went, oh wow, look at that.
Well, we were talking about this earlier. The challenge over these next few games is, after you've played all of these nationally ranked opponents, how do you stay up for a game, well, against a Bentley, somebody like that?
Yeah, sure.
I remember last year.
Yeah.
Because Bentley beat us last year.
Yeah, Bentley's not a bad team. And, you know, there's the risk that you look down at a Union, which they, you know, they played okay last night. They got the job done. Made it a little bit too close for comfort, but, you know, they did some good things. And then you've got to play Bentley this weekend, and then you've got the tournament over at Dartmouth, and then you've got, who's it, Bentley? Colgate.
Colgate, yeah.
Yeah, the first of the year. And then you're back into your league schedule, but everybody's doing that this time of year.
Right.
There's not many league games between now and, you know, middle of January.
Hockey seems incredibly tough and balanced this year.
God.
From top to bottom. Who's the best team you've seen
BU.
So far?
Yeah. BU. I mean, they have an NHL power play. They got, you know, they're just stacked. And for some reason, Maine struggles with BU, but don't struggle with BC.
Mm.
Explain that one.
You know, I think you hit on it, the power play. BU's power play, I mean, it looks like you're
lethal.
Watching the Rangers.
Lethal.
Yeah. I mean, I'm waiting for Zibanejad or Panarin to be named. To be
Celebrini
called,
so. And, you know, Lane guy, Hudson and, you know.
They quarterback it. Oh,
yeah, you can't, you cannot. You can't take penalties against them.
No.
And so I think that was, you know, that's not the worst thing in the world to go down there. And and get beat, okay? And I say that because they were getting soundly beat, but they didn't give up. Both those games ended up being one goal games. So they stayed with it, and they made BU a little uncomfortable at the end, okay? So you learn from that and you move on, and they didn't let it affect them, and then, you know, they just got right back to their winning ways. But sometimes it takes getting punched in the mouth to realize, okay, maybe we're not that good, and maybe we need to, you know, we need to do more. And so you know, they got a little bit of a lesson in particularly the power play down there.
So number 8 in the country, what's the ceiling for this team? Is there one for this year?
Yeah, who knows? I mean, realistically, they're
can they get to Boston?
I think they can. Yes, sure. Yes, they can. And I think they will. Beyond that, because it's all one game playoffs, it's not
matchups
and hot goalies, and, you know, but they're trending in the right direction. If you pumped me full of truth serum and held a gun to my head, I'd say maybe, you know, realistically, they're a couple of players away from challenging for a national title. And, you know, that's okay. It's trending in the right direction, and it's a lot of fun.
And I feel like they're ahead of schedule.
I think so, too. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think so, too. Because you look at the early part of their schedule, and you just said it. How many ranked teams did you every week you're playing a ranked team, and you're either winning or you're, you know, tying, you know, winning a loss with BC, you're beating UConn, you're beating UNH, you get smacked in the mouth at BU, but, you know, they were close games. So it's a long season. Not so much in terms of games, but just, you know, the whole, it's like 6 months.
Yeah.
That's all you're doing is living at the rink. And
how great is it, though, for somebody who grew up in Orono, has been around this program forever, when you're heading up to broadcast the games, to see what used to be a regular feature, and that's that line stretching out from the Alphont of students waiting to get in?
It reminds me when I was reffing, which is back in the 90s, and, you know, I'd show up at 4:30 or whatever, and the line would be out the door and around the parking lot and all that. It was only 2 or 3 wide. I got there on Friday night. It's 5 wide.
Wow.
It's all the way across the parking lot, around the fencing of the football field, halfway to the field house. I'm like, don't they know they're not going to get in? Most of them are not.
Yeah, well, soon in my class was the last one who didn't get in.
Oh.
She looked at me and she said, they closed the door in my face.
Oh.
And two other girls in the class said, Adria, we told you to be there a half hour beforehand, like we were.
Well, they were out there at 1 o'clock.
Oh, yeah?
And, okay, my suggestion, not that anybody listens to me, but take our broadcast, put it up on the big screen at the football field.
There you go.
They'll stand out there all night.
Right.
I would.
Yeah.
At that age.
I think it's a great idea.
By the way.
No, not now. No.
Yeah. But imagine that atmosphere.
Oh, yeah.
How fun that would be.
Yeah.
You know, or you know, get a big screen and put it outside the Alphont and let people stand outside. I mean, people do it.
I like that idea. I think that's great.
That's a great idea.
Thank you.
I'll bring it up at the next liaison meeting. No, seriously.
Yeah.
Mike Toole talking Black Bear hockey with us. Mike, good to see you.
Great to be seen. Great to be with you guys. It's just so much fun to have Maine hockey relevant again, isn't it?
It sure is.
Yeah.
So. Well, hope you and the family have a wonderful Christmas.
You guys too. Thank you very much.
Boppy going to be busy this year, I'll bet.
Boppy is always busy. And I got a little hockey player now. Little Cooper is 7 years old, and he's in the Maine Junior Black Bears. And so we've got the net set up down in the basement. I've got the dents in my garage door to prove it. And, you know, it's all good, clean fun.
That's awesome. Thank you, Mike.
All right, guys. Thanks.
Mike Toole talking Black Bear hockey with us. Our Black Bear reports are brought to you, oddly enough, by ClearPoint Capital. Call Mike Toole at 307-7718. Very meta here this afternoon. 20-